wisdom, godly wisdom. And then there's the false wisdom that many in this world hold out to be true. God yearns for you to be filled with real wisdom, wisdom from above. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're kicking off a new series of messages called Wisdom to Transform Your Life. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will work mightily through God's Word to fill you with even more of His wisdom. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called You Can Make a Powerful Difference. And I'd love to send you a free copy to help you really impact those around you with God's love. Let's be honest. Sometimes we do the dumbest things. We don't mean to. We just do. And there comes a point where you think to yourself, why am I making this same mistake over and over again? I'm guessing you've been there. For some people, it's constant worry. Sure, you've heard the bit where Jesus said, who by worrying can add a single hour to their lives, Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Maybe you've heard it 100 times before, but you still can't stop worrying. Perhaps you're someone who carries anger and bitterness around in your heart. Sure, you know that the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, but that anger keeps bubbling away. Or maybe you're someone who's constantly trying to impress other people. You know it's a pride thing. You know that pride comes before the fall, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, but, well, you know. There are so many things that hold us back in life. There are so many things that we hang on to for dear life that are in fact ruining our lives. We all have our Achilles heel. We all have blind spots. We all have circumstances in our lives where doing it my way, as much as that may have been the way we've always done things, just doesn't work. If I asked you in those circumstances, do you want to be wise? I'm sure your answer would be absolutely. But then if I asked you, so are you prepared to make the changes you need to make to get that wisdom, to live out that wisdom? Well, most of us at that point would hesitate, equivocate. Change? Really? Change? Well, I'm not so sure about that. If we're going to talk about wisdom then, we have to start at the beginning. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, maybe that's a verse that you've heard many times before, but let's just get a grip on it for a minute. The fear of the Lord means an awe, a respect, a realization of the terrible outcomes of the judgments of God. My father loved me and I loved him, but let me tell you, when I was a lad, I knew that if I did something wrong, there was going to be a reckoning with my father. And if it was bad enough, I knew that that would involve punishment. We just toddle along through life as though anything goes. If it feels good, do it. I wonder, though, if we thought a bit more about the terrible judgment of God, if we questioned our thoughts, our motives, our actions, if we asked ourselves, what would God think about this really? I wonder if that would open our hearts to the wisdom of God. A few years ago, I recorded a radio program about the fear of God. Now, I remember thinking to myself, no one wants to hear about the fear of God these days. But I just felt God nudging me towards that message. So I did it. I wrote it. I recorded it. And a few months later, I received an email from a man in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. This is what he wrote. I was at a peace conference in Goma, and in my hotel room, I turned on the radio. I heard a program about the fear of God, and I realized that with no fear of God in hearts of people, there will be no peace, no peace at all. I don't know if this was a revelation from God, but my heart was beating, coming far away. God was speaking to me. I have been on the battlefield for 13 years now, and I don't know how many people have died because of my gun. But what I know is that I decided to lay down my arms in that hotel room. I've never forgotten that email. He gave his life to Christ and ended up fleeing to another country in fear of his life. The bit of this email that keeps ringing out for me is where he says, without the fear of God, there can be no peace, no peace at all. You know what? He's absolutely right. When we just carry on as if anything goes, when we live our lives for ourselves without any respect, without any awe, without any right sense of the fear of God in our hearts, we're going to make a hash of it, a complete mess of our lives and a complete mess of the lives of the people around us. The people we hurt through what we say and what we do, through the expression of anger and disapproval on our face, through our failure to love them the way they need to be loved. And the crazy thing about this fear of God thing is that once we yield our lives to God, once we say, Lord, I'm sick of making the same mistakes over and over again. My way doesn't work. I want your way. I want your wisdom. I want your help. Once we do that, all the fear, in fact, goes away. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Yes, there is a terrible judgment that awaits those who rebel against God, a terrible judgment. But when we come to a turning point, as this man Safari Morinzi did when he came to a turning point in that hotel room, the fear goes away. When we choose to live in God's love, that perfect love casts out all fear. God wants to impart to you his wisdom, the wisdom of the ages. My dad had a lot of wisdom. He wasn't perfect, of course, but he took the time and made the effort to impart much of that wisdom into my life. And to a great extent, that wisdom has made me the man I am today. Imagine, though, God who is perfect, God who knows all things for all times, God who loves you beyond measure, wanting to impart his wisdom into your life. Surely we have to stand back from that, you and I, and think to ourselves, wow, that's amazing. And it is totally amazing. Just think for a moment of the things that you have going on in your life right at this moment that are causing you grief. The things that are complicated, that you just can't sort out and fix. Imagine now that God is prepared to speak his word of wisdom into that one situation that's driving you to despair. Would you want to hear that wisdom? Would you want to receive that wisdom? Probably out of frustration, out of a desire just to get that thing sorted, the answer is a big, fat yes. But then let's say you open the Bible and you read this verse, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And you realize that actually it's your pride and your arrogance, the way that you've been talking to other people, that's the biggest factor in this dilemma in which you now find yourself. Now let me ask you again, do you want to receive that wisdom? It's not easy, is it? There's this thing inside each one of us that wants to blame everyone and everything else for our problems, except ourselves. And yet so often, the getting of wisdom involves owning up. It involves being honest with ourselves. It involves making the changes that we need to make in order to bring peace. And that's where the fear of the Lord comes in. It's in this heart attitude that says, you know, God's right. The alternative here is continuing in this mess. The alternative here is facing God's judgment for this one day. Receiving the wisdom of God into our lives isn't always easy. In fact, a lot of the time, it's incredibly tough. It's something that we don't want to do because we want to wallow in our immaturity, in our pride, in our, let me call it for what it is, sin. But your Father in heaven has, sitting ready and waiting for you, the wisdom of the ages, a wisdom that will utterly transform your life, a wisdom that day by day will set you free to be all he made you to be. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. God's left you and me on this earth not just so that we can please ourselves, but so that we can impact the people around us powerfully with His love. Amen. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet. It's called You Can Make a Powerful Difference. And with the life application questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over to really apply God's word right into the circumstances that you're facing today. Because the word of God is alive and active. Amen. So I'm praying that He'll help you make a powerful difference through this little booklet. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, let's head back into God's Word. Wisdom is something that I think we all desire. I mean, I don't know anyone on this planet who, if asked, wouldn't want to be wise. But I wonder just how high it is on our list of priorities, on our list of wants and desires. See, we long after different things in our lives. Sometimes we yearn for love, acceptance, companionship. Other times it might be something more basic like enough food to eat. There are plenty of people on this earth who simply don't have the basics, food, clean water, and shelter. But in affluent places, we yearn frankly for silly thing. A new pet dog, nice, but not essential. The latest hairstyle, the latest fashion accessory, a new dress in this season's colours, a new car, shiny and bright, just like the one on the TV advertisement. Right now, given what's going on in your life, what are you yearning for? What's the object of longing that's dominating your heart and your mind right at this moment? Does godly wisdom even feature in, say, your top three desires? If you're like most people, the answer is probably not. When Solomon, the son of King David, was still a young man, he became the king of Israel. What a huge responsibility. Ruling a country that young, that immature, with so little experience. He knew it was way beyond him, just like many of the things that you and I confront in life are beyond us. One night he had a dream, and in that dream God said to him, "Ask what I should give you," 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. I wonder if God appeared to you and me in a dream one night and said that to us, what would we ask for? Well, here's what Solomon asked for, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" And then we're told in the very next verse, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, 'Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor all of your life. No other king shall compare with you." 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. So, asking for wisdom, it seems, asking unselfishly for the right thing, is an act that pleases God and releases great blessing into our lives. Just imagine what your life would look like if you yearned for the wisdom of God. Imagine what your life would look like if, like King Solomon, you petitioned God for the wisdom to do the things that He has set before you, the things that in your heart of hearts you know are way beyond you. It would please the Lord no end. It would bring you rewards that go way beyond anything you could ever have imagined. When we ask God for wisdom, we're asking Him for something that's not so much about us as it is about serving Him and other people. Think about the things that you need wisdom for in your life right at the moment. What are the things that are going on in your relationships that are beyond you? What are the decisions you need to make that are going to have an impact on your life and perhaps the lives of others that you're just not sure about? The young and inexperienced King Solomon wanted wisdom to govern God's people. So when he asked God for an understanding and discerning mind instead of wealth or honor as a king, the longing of his heart was for his people, not for himself. He could have asked for great riches and honor, but instead he asked for wisdom. You know what I think? I think that all too often we ask God for things that are about us, our needs, our desires. Now, just as Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, there's nothing wrong with asking God to meet our needs. But if that's all we ask of him, then it's a pretty selfish little prayer life that we're having, isn't it? It's a pretty narrow life that we end up leading. Imagine if you could see your problems through God's eyes. Imagine if you could see your circumstances, the decisions that you need to make through God's eyes. Imagine if you could stand on heaven's balcony and see the view from there. I think that's what wisdom is. God's wisdom gives us a completely different perspective. God's wisdom helps us see the big picture rather than our own little narrow circumstances. 1,000 or so years after Solomon, the Apostle Paul found himself in a Roman dungeon, chained to a guard on death row. Imagine how easy it would have been for him to have a narrow view of his circumstances, but again he was able to write this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, there's a man filled with the wisdom of God. There's a man who can see his dire circumstances from the vantage point of heaven's balcony. Back to you, back to your life, your dilemmas, your decisions, the things that are before you that you know are way beyond you, the struggles, the hurts, the situation that's confusing you and confounding you at the moment. Your God wants to show you the big picture. Your God wants to put his arm around you and show you the view from heaven's balcony. Now, sure, he may not show you the whole picture, but if you'll just ask him for his wisdom, it will please his Father's heart, and he will show you just enough to get you through. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just as we take this short break, I'd like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could also pray for one or two others and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please, let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. All right, let's head back into God's Word to see what else he has for us today. It's a humbling thing to come to the realization that you don't have the wisdom, the wherewithal, the IQ, the emotional intelligence, call it whatever you want, to deal with a problem. Pride keeps a lot of people from asking for help. Pride whispers to us, if you ask for help, you'll be showing other people how dumb you are. And so, many people make bad decisions because they don't seek the help from others when they need it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. Without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. The truth is that none of us has all the answers. When I was a young man working as a pretty high-priced IT consultant, I used to think that I had to show my clients that I had the answer to everything, that there were no limits to my expertise. After all, look at what I was charging them. How stupid I must have looked. And let me tell you, that attitude caused me a lot of grief in the end. No, we all need help. We all need the different perspectives that others can bring. We all need counsel from good advisors. And the best advisor of all, without any shadow of a doubt, is God himself. Especially, let me say, when we're in the middle of a crisis. Crises happen often without warning. They're like earthquakes. People are going along their ordinary day-to-day business, or perhaps they're asleep in bed without any warning. The earthquake hits, shaking the very foundation of their lives, wreaking devastation, throwing people into fear and panic. We tend not to make very good decisions under those circumstances. Suffering has a way of completely distorting your perspective. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, now I want to stop just there, because that last bit is the bit I want to focus on. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, how easy is it to pretend you have all the answers? How easy is it to go on and make decisions when you're facing trials, when your faith is being tested, when things are hurting, as though you know it all? With all that you have going on in your life at the moment, is there a place where you haven't admitted to yourself that you don't have all the answers? Because listen to me here, admitting to yourself that you actually need help is the first essential step into God's wisdom. And once we come to that point, once we admit to ourselves, well, the floodgates open. God steps in power in a way that we could scarcely have imagined. I wonder whether when you go through difficult trials, through times of testing, whether you've ever felt as though God has deserted you. You pray and you pray and you pray, but it feels as though your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. You ask God for guidance, for wisdom, for advice, but it seems as though he's left you here, alone in the wisdom, to your own devices. You realize that you don't have the power or the wisdom to deal with whatever it is, but God appears silent, mute it seems, and so now despondency settles in. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. Perhaps you're even there now. There's some huge problem in your life, and you know you need help, but there doesn't appear to be any help on the horizon. Would you like to know what's going on? Here it is. God has taken a step back to test your faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. He does that because your faith is precious. God knows that by testing your faith, he'll grow it stronger. Is it fun? No. But perhaps he's brought us here together today just to remind you of what's going on here in your suffering, in your time of testing. And now I want to share a powerful promise with you into the middle of that despondency. Are you ready? James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Wow. So you've come to the conclusion that you need help. You've realized that you don't have the wisdom that you need. That's a good thing. That's what he wants, the realization that I am lacking in wisdom. That's a great step of humility, a step that God will honor. And look again at his word. His promise is that he will give you wisdom generously and ungrudgingly. So stop doubting. Stop being tossed to and fro. Ditch the doubt, the double-mindedness, and just believe in what God says. If you need his help, if you need his wisdom, in the middle of your suffering and the testing of your faith, ask, believe, and his wisdom will be given to you generously and ungrudgingly. Hallelujah. Church program is sharing the powerful, practical Word of God with so many people in over 160 countries around the world. But that's only made possible through the generous support of friends just like you. Each dollar that you give today will grow to reach nearly 3,000 people with a gospel message. Incredible! That means that a gift today of just $35 can touch over 100,000 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to give a generous tax-deductible gift of support to Christianity Works today, securely online at christianityworks.com or by calling 1-300-722-415. And when you do get in touch, two things. Firstly, don't forget to request your free copy of that life application booklet that I've been telling you about. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Secondly, we would love to pray for you, absolutely. Just click on the powerful prayer tile at the bottom of the homepage. Again, that's all at christianityworks.com or give us a call toll-free on 1-300-722-415. Hey, thank you so much for your support and for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.